If you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to open up to John chapter 16. Wow, church family, thank you so much for your participation, your worship together in unity this morning. It's just so moving to me for sure. I expect to others singing songs of meaning and worshiping together. I'm just so blessed to be part of the Harvest family. Thank you so much for the way you've ministered to my heart this morning. We're in part three of a little series on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This will be the third of the four, and we're going to dive right in. We're going to be reading from John 16, but the whole story is all through chapters 14, 15, and 16. We read extensive portions of these passages in the last 2 weeks, and we're going to come to chapter 16, and our thoughts are going to be primarily out of these verses. So if you'd look on chapter 16, begin reading in verse 7 with me, if you would. Nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's good for you that I go. We've been talking about this. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Here's the questions that we've been answering over the last few weeks. Question number one, who is the Holy Spirit? That was week number one. Question number two, what does the Holy Spirit do? That was week number two. And then this morning, question number three, how does the Holy Spirit operate? Or more specifically, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? This is an important discussion. Because like we were saying last week, just as there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit's ministry in general, there's a lot of confusion about how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Dawson Trotman was the founder of the Navigators. He worked a lot with college students, and he said one time that he had four guys tell him that they knew that it was God's will that they would marry a particular girl. The problem was it was the same girl. So he was a little confused at, you know, who the Holy Spirit was actually speaking to. So we have to be careful about how we tell if it is the Holy Spirit speaking to us and not just something else, right? See, the problem is, I want you to listen closely. There's some very important things we're going to talk through carefully this morning. But if the Holy Spirit speaking to us is just some feeling that we get, I mean, if that's just the idea, then how do we differentiate between the Holy Spirit and my personal feelings or my personal desires? I mean, we talk about the idea that in my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's what the Bible says. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your heart, even though our world would say that. But then we're trying to differentiate then if the Holy Spirit is just a feeling that I get, that then how do I know the difference between the two? Or how about this? I know a guy, he's a believer, stable family guy, not some, you know, kind of flighty person, and he had an idea that God might be asking them to move to another place. And so he was praying, he's telling me about this later, he's praying, you know, God, show me. We need to know how you're leading us. And as he's praying that prayer over the course of time, you know, he pulls into a parking lot at the mall, and there's a car that's pulling out that had a certain state license plate. And so then he went into the play place at the mall, brought his kids in there, and he met a family from the same state. And the conclusion, he was telling me about this, the conclusion that he drew from these two occurrences was that the Holy Spirit was leading them to pack up their family and move to that state. And it was hard to question him on that because in his mind, this was the Holy Spirit that had moved him. So the question that we're trying to ask is, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? I mean, is it through coincidences of life? Is it through signs that we receive? Is it, does God, you know, kind of speak from the clouds, or do we get, you know, writing on the wall, or do I look for different signals that might be showing me license plates and people that I meet? I mean, are those the things that I'm supposed to be tracking and watching in order to know how God speaks to me? Well, this morning I want to tell you two things directly from the scriptures, because that's where we go around here. We're just going to teach exactly what the Bible says. Two answers to the question, how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Here they are. Number one, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks through the illumination and the application of the Word of God. All right, let me back up for a minute. Last week, we said that there are two key words in the connection between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Need to make sure that we understand them. They're both very important. Word number one is the word inspiration. We talked about that a number of different times. 2 Peter 1:21, very, very important text. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And both of them explain this idea that the Holy Spirit is the one who literally breathed out the words of the scriptures. The reason that we can trust the Bible as from God is because it was inspired. The Holy Spirit of God breathed out the word to the authors that then wrote it down. We've talked about that before. There's some details about that, but that's the word inspiration. Word number two is the word illumination. And that's what we just read in John 16:13. Let me read it again. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, listen to these phrases, he will guide you into all truth. All right, that's very critical. This is what we're talking about. For he shall not speak of himself. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So all of that is going to be wrapped up in the teaching we're going to talk about here. One of the most important responsibilities that you have as a Christian is to be a discerner of truth. We've said the New Testament talks about the fact that during the time of the New Testament, and even greater as time would go on, there's going to be false teaching, false teachers. We're going to have to be discerners between what's true and what's false. We're going to have to listen carefully. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will be guiding and illuminating, guiding us into the truth. The Spirit, listen, is your guide. Illumination means to shed light on something. Illumination, to shed light on something. This made a lot of sense to me when a few years ago, you guys know, I had a couple eye surgeries. I'm so thankful God miraculously preserved my sight. I see very well, almost 20/20, which is really a miracle from where I came from. But I don't see well when it's dark. And so if I'm in a dark spot and I'm trying to read, I don't see very well. But if I can shine a light on what I'm reading, if I can get out my phone and I can put a light on it, immediately when that light shines on what I couldn't see before, now becomes clear. That is the work of illumination. This is what the Bible says the Holy Spirit does. It's as if we're reading the word and it seems as though it's a little shadowy, a little bit difficult to see. And what the Holy Spirit does in our study of the scriptures and our learning together is the Holy Spirit is the one who shines the light. He illuminates so that what was difficult to read, difficult to understand, can become more and more clear. This is the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't happen by osmosis. Unfortunately, you can't place your Bible underneath your pillow at night and go to sleep and hope that in the course of the night, you know, it just kind of comes into your brain. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. Okay? He takes your study, your reading, and he illuminates what you're studying and you're hearing in a group like this. What we're doing this morning, we're studying the Word. Now, it's all together. You might do this in small groups, and you should do this. You ought to do this individually. But in all of those times when we're looking at the Scriptures, there may be somebody who's teaching, but it is the Holy Spirit who's taking the Word, and he's helping you to understand. He's illuminating the work. That's what he does. So, what exactly does the Holy Spirit do as he illumines and applies the Word of God? Let me just list three things that come out of this text, all right? Go back, because I want to add this, to chapter 14 and verse 26. It says this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things," and then this phrase, "and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you." So one of the work of the Holy Spirit in the illumination process is that he reminds us of what Jesus had taught. It's actually kind of an interesting phrase. The Gospels that are written down in our New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them were written sometime after they had occurred. In fact, the earliest writing down of the Gospels was 10 years after Jesus' life. And in fact, John, that we're reading this morning, wasn't written for 40 or 50 years. So the Gospels tell us the story of the life and the experiences of Jesus of Nazareth, but they were written sometime after it. And what this text tells us, 14:26, was writing very specifically to those disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to be the one that would bring Jesus' teaching back to their remembrance. I mean, think about that. 10 years later, actually for John, 40 or 50 years later, he writes the book of John. Go back and read it, and he gives so many details. He's able to communicate the teaching of Jesus in much clarity. I mean, verse by verse, he's able to go back and, you know, put together again a message that Jesus taught 40 and 50 years later. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, you know, 10 years from now, you won't be able to say much about what I preached in this message right here. In fact, maybe not even tomorrow. I don't know how good your memory is. But this was different. It wasn't that, I mean, of course, this was Jesus' teaching, so that's different. But the disciples were keyed in on everything that he said. But it literally was the Holy Spirit who brought these things back to their mind as they spoke, as they wrote out the Gospels for us. So that's what it says. He will remind them of what Jesus had taught. Number two, he would guide into all truth. We just read that out of 16:13. He would teach, unfold the meanings and applications. And then he would show them things to come. That's at the end of verse 13. I think specific reference to the book of Revelation, which John also wrote, that the Holy Spirit was going to show them things to come. So those three things come out of the text. So in this illumination ministry of the Holy Spirit, make sure that you track with me here. He will guide you and he will teach you as you read and study the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit illumines the Word. And I also think that these verses explain that the Holy Spirit illumines Jesus. Look at verse 13 again. It says, I tried to put some emphasis on it, "He shall not speak of himself." The Holy Spirit's ministry is not to illumine his own ministry. He's not going to speak of himself. Verse 14 says, "But he shall glorify me." It's very important. Listen, the Holy Spirit's ministry is not about the Holy Spirit. It is about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Always, all throughout the New Testament, this is what we are taught. Look down at chapter 15. I just wanted you to see it through the whole text. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the comforters come, who I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me, of Jesus. All right, so let's pull this stuff together. This is so important. Make sure that you get it. I'm going to give you a couple of applications. Here's number one. In fact, put a star by this application, maybe two stars. It's important teaching. It is essential that we see the work of the Spirit of God is never divorced from Jesus Christ or the Word of God. Very, very important. People who claim that the Spirit of God led them to do things that are contrary to the example of Christ or the teachings of the Word are mistaken. That's not what the Holy Spirit does, ever. The Holy Spirit never manufactures a different message, never leads us in a different direction, never speaks contrary in any way to the example of Jesus and the teachings of the Word. So that's the first thing. Here's number two. The Holy Spirit never magnifies himself. Boy, I hope there's some things here that you just never forget. If you get involved in a ministry that glorifies itself instead of Christ and his word, listen, the Spirit of God is not in that ministry. I don't care what feeling we get, how much we talk about the Spirit. If you follow a leader that's getting the glory for that ministry instead of Christ, the Spirit of God isn't empowering that leadership. What the Spirit of God does as it illumines, as it empowers, is it points everything to Jesus. It points everything to the Word. And so if you're part of a Christian organization or a mission or a ministry and someone other than Christ is being glorified, then it's, if you're watching someone online and it feels like, you know, it's sort of a little bit more about their personal brand, their teaching, but it seems a lot about their personal brand. Again, I just say, this is not how the Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us to put our eyes on Jesus and our eyes on his word. Always glorifies Christ. In fact, I'll go one step further. If the Holy Spirit himself is being emphasized and magnified, he isn't in it. So how does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Number one, answer number one is he speaks to us through the Word of God. Here's number two. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in a still, small voice. The Holy Spirit speaks through the internal promptings in your heart that are in accordance with the character of Christ and the Word of God. We read this throughout these chapters in this text, 14, 15, 16, in some very important words. Words like, the Holy Spirit is your comforter. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. The Holy Spirit is your guide. And I think in these ways is the Holy Spirit speaking to us in this still, small voice. Let me tell you that at this point that the speaking of the Spirit to our hearts is a little less clear. In fact, I'm still working through some parts of this on a personal level. But here's the reason that we would say this and why this is so important. I'm going to give a word that it might not be familiar to you. Some of you would be familiar, but we are cessationists. Harvest, I am a cessationist. I'm not sure if you know what that means, but what it means is that we believe that when the Word of God was completed, that the special revelation of God has ceased. In fact, I want you to turn, there's several important passages in here. One of them is 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. I hadn't intended on making those part of this teaching series. In fact, we don't have time for it. But I've had a number of questions about that in particular the last few weeks. It's very likely that we might come back to this in January, February, sometime in the spring, and actually walk through those three chapters, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Tell us some very important things about miraculous gifts, about the work of the Spirit, and about this cessation of gifts. But I want to look at this text. Which one did I just send you to? 2 Peter chapter 1. Would you look there real quick? 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Actually, chapter 1 is an interesting passage. The end of the chapter talks about the Holy Spirit's work and inspiration. We won't have time to talk about it, but I love that. But look at verse 3. It says this, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If you want to underline that phrase, mark it in some way in your Bible. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything that you need to live a spiritual life of godliness, God has given all of these things to us. Where have we been received all these things? Well, we've received them in the Word. That's the context of this text. He's given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby were given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. We talk about this in this term, the sufficiency of Scripture. Really important idea. The sufficiency of Scripture. And what it means is that God has given us everything that we need in his Word. The Bible is sufficient for everything that we need for life and godliness. Everything that we need to live out our spiritual life and to know God and to know what he wants for our lives. All of it has been given to us here in the Word. So for that reason, the fact that God has given us everything that we need to know about himself in the Word of God, it's complete. I don't believe that God is giving special new revelation. So I think the Bible says that those special revelations, once this revelation was complete, those new special revelations have ceased. I don't think God is speaking more in dreams and visions and prophetic words. 1 Corinthians 13, we may come back to this and teach on it. This is important because what it does is it helps us to determine how do we know whether what a teacher is teaching, let's say there's new revelation being given. How do I know whether that revelation is from God or from another source? The New Testament says that in the New Testament age, and then more so in the time to come, there would be false teachers. There would be some that they call them wolves in sheep's clothing. They would say that they're expressing the word of God and God's plan for the world. So if this is new revelation, how would we be able to determine whether that new revelation is actually from God or whether it's just a false teacher? How would we be able to know when Joseph Smith, a couple hundred years ago, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon Church, he began to say, he believed the Bible. He said he believed the Bible, and then he said, but I have new revelation, more revelation. So how would we be able to know whether that was true? There's a lady named Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder of Christian Science. Christian Science began, Mary Baker Eddy started in a Bible study, but then began to have what she said, new revelation that told, her followers more than what had been revealed here in the Bible. And so they'd be able to have a fuller, spirituality if they would follow after her teaching. Well, how is a Christian supposed to be able to discern what new revelation can actually be from God? Except that the Bible said all of that revelation had ceased, and therefore any teaching in the New Testament age, it has to be able to conform to and from what the Bible says. It's all here. So for the Christian that believes this are able to say, anything that I hear, it's just got to run through the grid of the Scripture. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is not giving new revelation. The Holy Spirit is illuminating and teaching about the revelation that he's already given to us, and it's sufficient. It's good, and it's enough. So I don't believe that the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you today in a dream, or he's going to write it on a wall. I'm pretty leery when someone tells me that they determine God's will because of a license plate, or some other, coincidental circumstance. I just don't think God is revealing his will today in that way. But I do believe, now listen, here's going to be the clarity. I do believe that the Holy Spirit prompts our hearts, and I think he does it most of the time in a still, small voice. He speaks quietly to convict us of sin in our lives. Any person here that's a Christian, you've felt that, you've sensed that. And if we ignore him, he might speak louder into our hearts. He speaks quietly to prompt our hearts to reach out to the neighbor who needs Christ, or that Christian friend that has a need. He speaks quietly to burden us to pray for some person or some particular situation. He speaks quietly to remind us that life is so short, and someday this is going to be over, and that it's so important that we would live our lives in a way that counts. The problem is that most of us, our lives are too loud. They're too busy. They're too intense. They're too frantic. They're too frenzied. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time, affirming the ministry of the word, but we just have so much going on that we don't hear him. And if we do hear him, sometimes our ears are so out of tune in listening to him that we don't recognize his voice when he does speak. And so because we don't hear, we start looking for signs. Our lives are too busy, they're too frenetic, they're too harried, and because we're not hearing God's voice, now we start looking, God, would you just show it to me? Would you just give me a sign? Why is it that I hear the Spirit of God in my life better out in the ocean on a paddleboard? Or in the woods by a lake? For many years, as my kids were growing up, I used to go with my brothers and our sons. Actually, I took this picture maybe 12 years ago. This is actually up in Canada, the southern part of Canada. And every second or third year, just as the ice was coming out of the lakes so that we wouldn't have too many flies and mosquitoes, we would go up into this area. This is a no motors area, and the only thing you can do is canoe up in, and we'd go in and we'd canoe in a full day, find a little island and camp out and fish, and just actually, I'll show this for you fishermen out here. I got tons of these kinds of pictures. This is Tyler, probably a dozen years ago. All right, that's not the main point. But go back to that other slide. Why do you think that some of the times in my life where I feel like I've heard God's voice, God's Spirit speak to me so loudly, why do you think that some of a lot of those times are up there? Because it's quiet. It's amazingly quiet. Why is it that I tend to hear God's voice better in my quiet time or in church? Why is it that when we come together in this place that we tend to hear God's voice here in this place? Listen, it's not, if you've been tracking the theology of the last few weeks, you have as much of the Holy Spirit in you all during the week as you do right now. Why is it that we tend to hear God's voice in this place? Well, one is the Word of God is being presented, all right? So that's part of it. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit's using the Word of God. But the other is that we sit long enough to quiet our hearts. Our worship together draws our mind to kind of forget, tries to forget all the other stuff going. And it's in that place, you guys, in the quietness of our time, that we can hear the Holy Spirit's voice. It's not that he's not been talking to you the rest of the week, but we've quieted ourselves enough that we can hear him. There's an interesting story in the Old Testament about a guy named Elijah. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read these verses. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm not using this as a proof text for the Holy Spirit's ministry in the New Testament age, but I do think it strikes me as kind of an important idea. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah, you might remember, had just come off a spiritual victory up on Mount Carmel. He'd run into the desert. Jezebel had threatened him. He'd been depressed. And then God brings him up into a mountain. And he puts him in a cave. And in 1 Kings 19 and verse 11, it says this. And he, talking about God, says to Elijah, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in the mantle, and he went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit's voice, his still, small voice, is so easily drowned out. John 16, which we are reading in verse 12, says, interesting, it says, Jesus says, "I have so much to tell you, but I know you can't handle it right now." Have you ever been in that situation? Jesus is like, "Hey, disciples, you got so much going on. Your brains are spinning. I just told you I'm leaving. You're trying to process. I got a lot more to tell you, but you can't handle it right now. There's so much going on that you can't think straight." I mean, that's me. I don't think that well on my feet. If you give me time, I can think through some things, but I'm a little slow. I need a little bit of space to kind of process things together. And what Jesus says to them is that it's going to be later, when their hearts were quieter, that the Spirit would guide them into truth. Hey, listen, the Spirit's still, small voice is so easily drowned out. Some of you, some of us, we're just too busy. We're too frantic. And that's the reason that you haven't heard from the Spirit in the last week, because there's been no space for His voice to get into what's going on. I mean, for too many of us, our lives are less characterized by standing in the mouth of the cave listening to the still small voice, and it's more characterized by the wind and the fire and the earthquake. That might have been your last week, right? So that's the reason that you haven't heard from the Spirit. You may have been a Christian for years, but if you're honest, the Holy Spirit's not a daily part of your life, not talking to you, not changing you. And you need to get some quiet time. And you have to make it a regular habit. And I know some of you are like, "Man, Pastor Gary, life is so busy. You have no idea. I'm drowning. I'm just going from one earthquake to the fire, you know, to the wind to the next. I mean, there's no way." And now you're trying to add one more thing. You're trying to tell me I got to find quiet time. Where in the world am I going to find that? And I, first of all, I want to tell you, I know, I get it, I understand. And I still, you're the person I'm talking to, that I think the Word is talking to. I don't know how, but you've got to find some space. I would encourage you, first thing, kind of a first offering, before that day starts ramping up, but you have to find some time where you can be quiet before God, or else you will not hear the Spirit's voice. Some of you, the still small voice of the Spirit gets drowned out by the feelings of fear and worry and panic. and life's pressures are starting to mount and circumstances press in on us, just like was happening with these disciples. And it is in precisely those moments when the Holy Spirit is desiring to speak and he's desiring to quiet you. It's in those moments that I want to encourage you to stop and slow down. When everything seems to be ramping up and you feel like I got deadlines coming every way at me, and you, in exactly that time, in that space, you need to find a place where you can sit alone. Go for a walk. Find a room. Find a room in the church. Just get away from the noise and the hassle and open up your Bible and ask the Spirit of God to quiet your heart and to speak to you while you focus on the Lord and on his word. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is how he speaks to us. Let me ask you to bow your heads. Father, would you speak to us this morning in your still, small voice? Help us to learn to hear, to recognize, to listen to your voice. I pray that you'd keep us from the hectic life where we cannot find time to stop. And I pray that we would become in tune with you so that even when you're speaking in the middle of our chaos, we would know it's your voice, that we could hear it and listen. I pray for some today that are feeling this weight. I pray for those that have not heard from the Spirit. I pray that they'd be able to hear and quiet and so that they could listen. If you just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed as we close the service, can I ask you two things this morning? I wonder if there's some here that would say, you know, Pastor Gary, my life is too loud. It's busy, maybe too frantic, and I need some quiet time just to listen to God's Spirit. And right now, this morning, I commit to finding time today, finding time this week, evaluating my schedule so that I know I can find some space where I could listen to the Spirit. Would you be willing to lift up your hand and let me pray for you all across the room? Amen. Number of hands. Hey, join with some others. There's a lot. Go ahead and raise your hand. You need to find some quiet time. All right, I want to pray for you in a little bit. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you. More important than that, you know, that raising of the hand is sort of an admission to God. God, I need you to work in me. I need you to help me with this. One last question. I wonder if there's some here, I think there might be, that would say, Pastor Gary, I'm not sure that I'm a genuine believer. I've got some questions about my faith. I'm trying to figure some things out, but sitting here today, I don't know for sure about that I've received God's forgiveness. If I were to pass away today, I don't know for sure about my eternity. But I'd like somebody to pray for me about that. Would you be willing to lift up your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Just wait a minute. I'll pray for you. Would love to talk with you about it afterwards, but for sure I'll pray with you. No pressure. I want to pray with you. Pray that God would continue his work of drawing your heart to him. Father, we thank you for those this morning that you've spoken to us from your word all across this room. We want to hear your voice, and so we pray for that. And I pray for those that had the courage to say, I'm not sure that I'm a genuine follower, genuine believer in Jesus. I pray that you'd bring truth to them. Maybe even today, would they know your word so that they could give their heart fully and completely to you as a Lord of their life, as a King of their life, and the forgiver of their sin. So I pray for them, would they know and understand your word, and would you draw them to you today? Thank you for the privilege of studying about the Holy Spirit. Continue to teach us to your word. It would guide us so the Holy Spirit would be able to live out the fullness of what he desires in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.